Okay, we're up to Perek Beis Pasik Chaf Gimel. V'hoya b'yamahu enenu Hashem. It will be on that day Hashem says, I will answer. What does that mean, I will answer? Let's see. Ene es hashamoy. The Pasik explains, I will answer the heavens. What does that mean? V'heim ya'anu es aretz. And the earth, in turn, will be answering, the heavens will be answering the earth. What does that mean? The aretz taneh, the earth will answer es ha-dogon v'es ha-tirosh v'es ha-yitzar. The dogon, the tirosh, and the yitzar. And who is the dogon, the tirosh, and the yitzar? The grain, the wine, and the oil, who are they responding to? V'heim ya'anu, they are answering es Yisrael. They're answering, who is Yisrael? So here, at least in the Tzudos David, it says, we're going backwards, Klal Yisrael, who are called in the beginning of the Sefer, they're called Yisrael. We had many interpretations. And Yisrael is one of the names for Klal Yisrael. According to most of the commentators, this is a derogatory term. It's a derogatory term for Klal Yisrael, referring to Klal Yisrael in Golos. They have been seated or dispersed in Golos, scattered in Golos. And according to only one opinion, we learned that it's a positive, it's a beautiful term. It means that they have been planted in Eretz Yisrael. But over here, it's whatever it refers to, whether it's a derogatory term, whether it is a positive term to refer to Klal Yisrael, it's referring to Klal Yisrael. The pasuk of Hey Uzrati Ali Baretz, I'm going to plant leaf. I'm going to plant her, the Jewish people in the earth in Eretz Yisrael. Now we go back to the three names. The three names of Hosea. This winds down the story of Hosea, the first story. Hosea was told to marry a harlot and to have children. He had three children, two boys and one girl. And now the pasuk says that when Mashiach comes, I will plant her in the earth. That is the name of his first child. V'richamti, I'll have compassion, es loy ruchama. The second child whose name was girl, loy ruchama, I will show her compassion. V'yamarti, and I will say to his third child, which is the son, loy ami, that was his name, loy ami, ani ata, you are my nation, v'hu yoymar eloy koi, and he will say, you are my God. Notice in the three children, the only one that we stole at the end of the save is very, very strange. The end of the story, the only one that's going to have a dialogue with Hashem from the three children is Loyami. Loyami is going to speak up and say, indeed, you Hashem, you are my God. It doesn't say that Loy Rucham is going to speak, and Yisrael doesn't make any and does not talk. And these two parakim, which we've learned, the three children, the only one that replies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Loyami. The other two children are silent. We never hear them say one word. Let's see these three psukim. There's a lot going on here. Starting with Pasuk Chaf Gimel in the Mitzudos David. Chaf Gimel v'Eneh v'Choyzer u'Mifaresh. The Pasuk first just gives a very general description. Hashem says, I will respond. What does that mean? Who is Hashem responding to? To the heavens. The heavens have made a request from Hashem. What was the request? In times of drought, it is as if the heavens are asking Hashem, heavens are creatures of Hashem, they're speaking to Hashem and making a request, can you please send down some rain? And the pasuk here tells us, Sheyoshiv al Sheilosam, Hashem will respond to the request of the heavens, Lemalois Oisa, to fulfill its request, the Yitzaveim Lehoirid Hamotar, and Hashem will give the green light that Motar can descend. In other words, the Shemaim cannot allow the Motar to be released until Hashem gives the okay. The Shemaim will make a personal request from Hashem that we have permission to proceed and to allow the clouds to bring forth water. Hashem says, yes, yes. In the times of Mashiach, I will give the okay that you may proceed. Now, why is the Shemayim, what the Heim Yanu? Now, the passage is going to says Heim Yanu. What the Shemayim is in essence going to be answering. Who are they going to answer? The next page, page 42 on the bottom. Ki aretz hatzimeyah, the dry earth, ki'ilu she'eles al hamotar. It's as if the earth is making a request from the heavens. Begging the heavens. The yashivu hashamayim al she'elosa l'harid es hamotar. Pasuk of Dal, v'aretz ta'aneh ki bavur yavshus aretz kilu hazroim v'eitz prid. Since the earth is very dry, the fruits and the seeds, the trees and the seeds and the fruits, they're asking the earth to produce. V'sashiv aretz al she'lo sam le'atzmich, and the earth will now respond, will bring forth vegetation. V'heim yanu es Yisrael, who's the one that started the process? Es Yisrael asher zira'am ha'kel. Here the word Yisrael refers to zoram kel. Hashem has, he over here, he learns it means zira'am ha'kel v'hefitzam. Okay, it means Hashem has scattered them among the nations. Hashoilim al hatzmochas hazroim. Hine hadogon v'hatirosh v'yitzor yoshivu al she'losam. They will respond to Klal Yisrael, the Yitzmuchu, they will sprout the Yisu Pri, and they will give forth fruit. There's a chad gadi here. A whole chad gadi. I'm going to read in the Malam. The Malam is much nicer. He says it in a much more eloquent way. He says it a little differently. He says, come on, the same thing is, but the whole chad gadi over here is that we have over here that Klal Yisrael, they put seeds in the ground. And the earth speaks, the Klal Yisrael, they speak to the earth. Earth, we're working backwards now. Earth, please do me the favor and allow these seeds to blossom. And the earth says, well, you know, it's not in our power. We want it to blossom. So the seeds say, well, we have to ask the Dagon, the Tirosh, and the Yitzar. We have to ask the koyach, these creatures, this koyach that Hashem put in the world that produces grain, wine, oil, to allow us to be successful. So when the grain, the wine, the oil receive the request, they say, well, we're not in charge. We have to ask the earth. The earth can help us. They ask the earth, well, we're not in charge. We have to ask the Shemayim for assistance. And then the Shemayim say, well, we're not in charge either. We have to ask Hashem for assistance. So it's a little bit strange because it turns out that in this pasuk it makes no mention that we're speaking directly to Hashem. Isn't that very bizarre? We always are brought up with the idea that when you make a request, who do you speak to? You speak to Hashem. Hashem, you figure it out. Hashem, we need parnasa. You give us parnasa, so we ask you for parnasa, and Hashem, you figure out how to give us parnasa. So Hashem goes through the whole cycle. Hashem sends down the rain, and then the rain goes. Go, Hashem speaks to the Shemayim, and Hashem tells the Shemayim to form clouds and send down rain, and the rain goes to the earth. The earth takes the rain, and it gets moist, and then it begins to allow the dog on Tirosh and Yitzhar to develop. And all of this, starts with our request to the earth. So this is a little bit strange. What's going on over here? How this entire, all of this, the whole sequence, the cycle is backwards. Well, it's not just backwards. It's bizarre. I mean, it almost sounds like when you read the pasuk at face value that we are totally removed from Hashem. We are communicating with the seed. We take the seed and we say, "Seed, do me a favor, produce," and we put the seed on the ground and we disappear. The seed then says, "Dagon." The koyach of Dagon. Please make me from a seed into a stalk. The Dagon says, well, earth, help me out. I need you to help me do this. And the earth says, well, I need rain. So let me speak to Shemayim. And the Shemayim says, well, I need Hashem to help me form the clouds and bring this all about. There's a whole cycle. It's a chad gad here. You're going down many, many layers.
Backwards.
And not only is it backwards, where do we come into play? Says in the Torah,
well,
the aid.
Yeah. Backwards progression. We have to approach Hashem.
Oh, but it doesn't say that in the pasuk. It says over here in the pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer the heavens, and heavens are going.
Why will He answer? He'll answer because we do tshuva or whatever it is.
Ikar choser min ha'sefer. The most important element is missing. What's the beginning of creation? The aid yale baruch Hashem or Mayevsky is here. Tell me the pasuk. The aid yale min aretz. Why not? Adam did not yet exist. And what does Rashi there say? Adam was not there to be mispalo. Over there we're talking about the rain coming down of heaven, the first beginning of Chumash Bereishis. The rain is coming down from heaven. We're skipping this whole Chad Gadya. And why? Because Adam Ayin La'avoid Es Adama. Rashi, don't take it literally to mean that man's going to work. It means Adam Ayin to be mispalel to Hashem, avoida, that it should rain. And once men will come on the scene and will be mispalel that it should rain, you can sit back and watch the show. There's nothing that more needs to be done.
The Gemara says that it's just to show that God created the earth for man. Because there was no need for anything until
but
man
what is
was
the
created.
What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that all double speed mispalel to Hashem that it should rain. And here in this pasuk, at times of Mashiach,
it
said
it only rained once in 40 years. It said
okay, fine.
That's why there was able to be a flood because all the water that's the Malbim. But the water collected for all those years and it never rained. And
okay,
and
but the pasuk says, but the
years worth of humidity let the rain fall. That's why you were able to see the rainbow the first time because the clouds were so thick.
But never, of course, but nevertheless, what does it say? The point of here is the beginning of the Torah, when you're dealing with the first time that it rained, the first time that Eilet holdoi shamayim baretz, okay? Vayichulu, we finish creation, now we begin the second Aliyah in Chumash Bereishis. Eilet holdoi shamayim baretz bihi baram. Biyoy ma'asois Hashem lukim eretz vishamayim. The chol siach hasadeh, all of the growth, siach means the vegetation of the field, terem yihiyah biyaretz, before it even came into existence. The chol teret isef hasadeh, terem yitzmach. Why not? How come there is no siach hasadeh? Why is there no isef hasadeh? Ki lo himtir Hashem elokim al aretz. Why not? Why not? The adam ayin lavoid es hu adama. Rashi, Pasuk Hey, Rashi Terem of Adam Ayin, Lefi, She Adam Ayin Lavoid Es Adama, Ve'ein Makir B'Toivasan Shel Geshamim, Uchishebo Adam V'Yoda, Shehem Tzorech Lo'olam, Hispalel Aleihem V'Yordu, V'Tzamchu Huilonus V'Hadashohim, all of things began to blossom. So you see here in the very beginning of the Torah, come out the first thing, the very first story of the Torah, the very first thing is that Adam's mission is to daven to Hashem so that it should rain. In this pasuk it said, when Hashem answers, who is Hashem answering to when it does rain? Man! And in this pasuk, when you think we finally reached the shleimus, the peak, the utopia, we've reached the perfect world, the hoya b'yamahu, Hashem says, No, Hashem. Who am I going to answer? I'm not answering Adam. I'm going to answer the heavens. And the heavens, in turn, they are answering the earth. Who are they answering to? Tane es, the koyach of Hadagon, v'es hatirosh, v'es hayitzar. And who are these minim answering to? Veheim Yanu es Yisrael. They're answering the Jewish people. The Jewish people who put the seeds in the ground that it should grow these things. That's what it's answering to. All of a sudden, there's such a hierarchy. There's so many different stages. What's going on? My Sibiratius. We cut out the middleman. We go straight to the source. I have an open door policy with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a pella. So let's see what this is in the Farshim. This new, I don't know the answer. I'm not.
Rashi repeats this by in Eretz Yisrael, lo keres Yisraim hi, when it says, tomir einein alakecha, Hashem alakecha bar.
Same idea. Eretz Yisrael has
the
advantage. You have to daven. That's the mile of Eretz Yisrael. So let's see Rashi. So we did the
mitzvah.
What?
There's one Tirashir that seems to accept this order. If you look at this one on our page,
okay, let's see. Let's first see the basic mafarshim. We're gonna go through some of the mafarshim. Let's just one thing at a time. So let's first see what Rashi says. Rashi pasuk chav dal es Yisrael es bnei hagoylos and nizru'u v'nikbitzu, which have been seeded and have been gathered. Is that the word? Sheniz scattered and been collected. Okay, so he learns here that the word Yisrael, like the mitzudos, is a negative term. It refers to Klal Yisrael, but in a very negative fashion, a reference to the Golus. The Golus, and now we have been ingathered. Pasuk Afei Uzrati Li, Kizorea Se'o Lahachnis Kamo Koirin, Kein Yitoisfu Alehen Kamo Geirim. Wow, where in the world did Rashi, where did this come from over here? Okay, Loyami Rashi with Fiosin, that's really shocking. The son that you'd expect, the Darsh, is that this over here is a reference to Yimos HaMashiach, and it's going to be Gerim. Anyone learn Daf Yomi here? Daf Yomi, yesterday's daf is that Gerurim. Mamish, today's daf, yesterday's daf. You don't accept Limos HaMashiach, we do not accept Gerim.
Right.
And this that it says that they're going to come, the Gerim are going to come, they're called Gerim, Gerurim, they are deficient, they are defective.
They do it themselves.
And when they hear about the Milchemes, Goy, they run far away, they disappear. They don't want to be involved in, they don't want to be victims in the Milchemes, Goy, Umogoy. That's where you separate the men from the boys when things get tough, they run away. So what's going on over here? Rashi over here says, "Kizrael, the person who plants a saw, lahachnis. When you plant one saw, the seed that you plant in the ground produces multiple times the amount that you plant. And kein yitoisu alehen kamo gerim. So what's going to be? What are we going to multiply? We're going to multiply in gerim. What's going on over here? So obviously Rashi appears is touching upon this problem that I just mentioned." Rashi does not learn here. V'hoyeh b'yoy mahu is referring to the geula. Rashi is referring, and it's consistent. We have this discussion. Well, here we're referring specifically to the Aseres HaShvatim, dealing with Hoshea. We have to remember. There are many different layers of interpretation. The reason why it's recorded is because it's recorded for the future, but it's also written relative to what happened in the lifetime of Hoshea. And Golus, and likewise, we can learn, take from the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim until the Bayis Sheni and apply it to what happens until the Bayis Shlishi. So he is learning here, even though normally that expression is always, we always are brainwashed and believe that it refers to Yimos HaMashiach. No, it refers to the days of Golus, the long dark days of Golus. Hashem says, I'm going to answer the heavens. And according to Rashi, it really fits well. This is exactly what the Pasuk is saying, is that in Golus, we don't see the Yad Hashem directly. In Golus, everything is Hester Panim. It's exactly the point of the Pasuk. Not like what it says in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, where we have an open door policy, we can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and speak directly to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our tefillos and it rains directly from our tefillos. No, in Golus, we do that, of course. We're mispalel directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it does not appear in an obvious way that our tefillos are answered. Part of the Hester Panim, the Chil Hashem, the Churban of Golus is, it's not obvious. It appears to be channeled, Hashem's will is channeled down to many layers of intermediaries until finally it reaches us. We, Klal Yisrael, are Yisrael. We are in Golus. We have been scattered in Golus. Rashi does say, V'nik B'tzu, the end will be, we will be in gathered once again. But in the meantime, we have been scattered. And when we are in Golus, and we are Mispalel, it takes time. There's a lot of paperwork. Okay? That's the danger. Excellent. That's exactly what the danger is, because when it appears to go through so many different intermediaries, that's how Avodah Zarah came about.
Yeah.
Avodah Zarah in the time of Enosh is when, since all of these things are Hashem's messengers, Hashem's messengers, they are his shluchim, so you have to grease the wheels. Right? You have to go and I once went to a Rebbe. So I was online, only went one time to a Rebbe. Did I go to a Rebbe? Well, maybe not. Yeah, could be one more time. So I was waiting online to go, and I asked the fellow next to me, an American, just like me, what do? Do you give money? You have to give money to the Rebbe? So he says, no, you don't have to give money. And if you give money, it's for tzedakah. He gives it out to people in New York. So yeah, so I have over here some money. I said, you write a kvittel? So he says, you can. But the people who don't know how to write kvitloch, so they have like a form, whatever it's worth. They have a form, and it's whatever you give to the Rebbe. So then I said, do I have to do anything else? He says, you should give the gabbai a tip. That's what he told me. He says, that's what you do. You're supposed to give the gabbai a tip for you know, making the appointment and letting you go inside. Oh, interesting. I had no clue. See, that was totally new to me, that you're supposed to give the gabbai a tip. And that seems like that's what you do. So it's exactly the same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate Rebbe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gaboyim, the Shemesh, the Yireach, the Kochavim, the earth, governments, politics, they're shluchim. You got to tip the Rebbe. You got to tip the Gabbai. You go, you wait a line to go into the Rebbe, but you got to tip all the Gabbayim. That's how Avodah Zarah started. When they started giving bigger tips to the Gabbai, then they gave to the Rebbe. That's how it all started. And then they made the Gabbai into the Rebbe. That's how the Gabbai became the Rebbe. That's always usually what happens. So that's exactly the danger. But that's not the way it was meant to be. The way it's meant to be is he's the Gabbai. You need the Gabbai, the Rebbe needs a secretary. He needs many secretaries. He's very, very busy. This is exactly what it says. We're in Golis. And in Golis, there are many intermediaries. And we have to recognize that when we plant, we put grain in the ground, when we are in a matzav of Yisrael, which is a lowly state of Klal Yisrael, and we put grain into the ground, who are we praying to? It almost appears to the naked eye, to the observer, that we're praying to the earth. And the earth has to come on to the goodwill, the good mazel of the nutrients in the seeds and the earth. And the earth needs to come on to the good mazel that it should rain in the right time. And the clouds will form only if everything happens to work out in the atmosphere, in the environment. Okay, there are many factors. And who's really the one that's giving permission for the clouds to let the rain come down? Hashem. But that's far, far removed from us standing on the ground and holding in your hand the seed. So the nisayon is, are we going to recognize that it really all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or are you going to turn a blind eye and say, no, I'm doing what I'm doing? And unfortunately, not everyone is able to understand this, and they fall to the wayside, and people, Rachman Litzlan, they're lost from us. On the other hand, there are goyim who do see the Yad Hashem, and when they see the Yad Hashem, they're blown away. They see the Hashkacha, they see the Yad Hashem, and they are Megayer. So this pasuk gufa, the fact that Rashi comes over here and it tells us dealing with Gair, Rashi over here is telling us clear as day that we're dealing in times of Golis, and Adarabah v'Adarabah, the pasuk now fitting like a glove when you contrast this pasuk relative to what it says in the very beginning of Chumash Bereishis, that Adam prays directly to Hashem that it should rain, and everything follows from there without us getting involved in all of the details. That is Rashi. The Mitzudos is silent. What? Okay, yeah, so let's read inside. So, yeah. Let's read inside. Let's read the Siv Seder. It's not called Siv Seder. It's called, they have another name for it over here. I lost the place. Siv Seder, oh, it is, I'm sorry. It is called Siv Seder. I'm sorry. I saw Siv Seder Chachamim. I'm sorry, I didn't say it. In Chumash, it's called Siv Seder Chachamim. And here it's called Siv Seder Zikanim. Who wrote it? I don't know, probably in Hagdam. They probably told you who wrote this. The Siv Seder Chachamim. What is over here on the first page? Sifsei Zikanim, Vuhu Leket, Sifrei Hamafarshim, Larashi, Al Nevim, Uksuvim, Aruchim, Lufisei, the Divri Rashi, Al Pi, Darkash, Al Sefer, Sisi Chachamim. Who wrote it though? It doesn't tell us who wrote it over here. Hishmatnu, Misom Elu, Asmash, Agir, Bidivri Rashi, Vaisam, Makar, Mishagir, Sosh, Lufnenu, Kvar, Misukanis. He's not writing everything. Things are ready. Sometimes a lot of the things are relevant. Mistakes in the gear. And there's a mistake in the gear, so we did not discuss because we have already fixed the gear, sir. Article says. Did they write this? Who wrote this? Did they write this, or did someone else wrote this? I know, I just read that. So who's the author? Who is your article? Is the author?
No.
What?
Altmeitzer.
What does that mean? Oh, it says the Nachlas. These are what included?
Yeah.
Nachlas Ruvain, Shem Ephraim, Nisyonis Avram. Okay, so it's an article took together these five Sfarim. That's what it seems to say. Did it?
Was
it?
Rabbi Levine, if you look in the first page.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm reading right now from the first page.
The lower right, Gimel.
Gimel? Yeah, I read that. I just read that. I don't know who wrote it. Maybe the thing, did they compile this together? Maybe they did, but let's see what it says over here. Uzratia Loli Baoretz Perish Rashi Zalke on page 42 in the Zizakanim Kazareya saw the Im Taimar. Mihich Michael Farish Dafkal Pi Hadrosh. Why is Rashi telling us over here about Gerim? Vizel Lashna Medrash, he quotes the Medrash, Amar Balazar, Lo Higlak Lashbach, Ezeshol, Elok, This general rule, this is a general chazal. Let's discuss it right now. I told you this a few times from Rabbi Ashur. It's a beautiful word from Rabbi Ashur. It's not his word. He says from other mafarshim is that the chazal tell us the reason why we went into Golis is in order to collect gerim, to give the goyim an opportunity. Okay, like that was yesterday's daf. The goyim are going to bitterly complain when Mashiach comes. How come they did not have a chance to mekayim the Torah? Hashem is going to say, you did have a chance. When do they have a chance? I mean, a matan Torah, a fiyam har paron. But Hashem is continuously giving them a chance in Golus to learn from Klal Yisrael. How? By exiling us throughout the entire world. Wherever you go, you're going to find a Jew. And when they see a Jew, that is an opportunity for them to inquire, what are you? Who are you? To understand, to learn about Hashem. Question. So what would have been had there not been Golus? What would have been had we been the Ritzoyin Shel Mokum and we have not gone into Golus? How then would the Gerim come? Would there be Gerim? How are they going to know about Jews in China and in North Korea and in Argentina? How are they going to know about Jews? If Hashem is not coming to with Alilos, he's not trying to make trouble for the non-Jews. So the answer is a magnet. If we were living in Eretz Yisrael, doing the Ritzoyne Shel Mokoyim, our potency, our of Kedusha would be so great, it would be no different than a magnet. And a magnet has an electrical pull, and people in the furthest corner of the earth would have a sense.
Don't we have that? We have that knowledge in the first place in Mikdash, in the time of formal.
So that's how it worked then. In time of the first space, that's how it worked.
They were kavanos, they were respectful.
Exactly. Why? Well, how do they know about us, though? How could it be that we're in Yerushalayim, in a teeny little city in the Middle East, and there are people in the furthest corners of civilization?
They were always sending out people.
And they were sending, so how did they even have the desire? Just because they're sending out people, why would they have a desire to come to Yerushalayim? The answer is, no, what? You hear a lot of things today. You're curious to go travel to every corner of the world to hear about people that do strange things.
It's word of mouth.
But just because word of mouth, you're reading the news, all different types of things that go on in the world. Do you have any desire to go now to the Amazon and to see unique? They found a new creature. I don't think the average person is so curious. You read in the news, they found a new type of giraffe in the Amazon. Wow. They never heard of this giraffe. A whole new Bria, a whole new Min. Well, they thought it was extinct. The average person in New York City, 8 million, 9 million people, how many of them are getting on a plane today to run to Africa to see the new giraffe that was discovered? None. No, maybe 5-10 people. 5-10 people. The Hamoinam, the whole population is obsessed with this? What?
There are people who are
interested. Well, I'm talking about everyone. I want to talk about everyone. Everyone.
You know everyone anytime.
Why no, Yadus, it's a much higher...
Yehudim themselves didn't do what they're supposed to do when they had...
Oh, that's the answer. Let's explain. That's exactly the answer. The answer is if Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, and they're doing the Ritzoyin Shel Mokum, and there's a Beis HaMikdash, and they're holding where they should be holding, it's as if their potency is like a magnet. It sends out invisible waves throughout the entire world. And people in the furthest corner of the earth, they don't know why. They don't know why. They're just awakened. They feel a magnetic pull to come to Eretz Yisrael to see what is Hashem. But when Klal Yisrael is not doing the Ritzon Shel Mokom, our magnet is dead. We have no special, there's no pull. So they don't know about. They will never, ever know there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. The only way for us to make it known to them is to go to them. To go out. To send out, set up a Chabad house somewhere. You have to go to them. Mm-hmm. That's the Churban of Golus. If we were, and by us going to them, unfortunately, their problems rub off on us. So if we merited to be tzaddikim and have a Beis HaMikdash, it would not be necessary for us to go to them and unfortunately learn from their evil ways.
That would be the magnet.
We would be a magnet. Maybe they would feel the need to come to us. In Galus, we've lost that magic. We've lost that koyach, that potency, which draws. We have no choice but to go. Hashem has scattered us throughout the entire world. And now when we're living together with them, and they see what a Jew is, and how they behave, what they do, they're very inspired. And they convert. And they join us. And even if they do not join us, at least we are their moral conscience. And they behave differently, whether they realize it or not. And that itself is the fulfillment of what Hashem wants. Hashem does not demand every Gentile should become Jewish. Hashem wants at least every Gentile should have a machshava in his mind. Not even that sometimes. Forget about that. Not even go. Even knows there is something called Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Just to even know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Just to know that there's a moral conscience, there's an afterlife, there's something. So a person lives in this world and he has sus machshavas every so often. Excellent. The purpose of creation has been achieved. Human beings on this world recognize on their madrega that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Not everyone is the Gadol Hadar, who sits and knows called Harakula and knows everything. Every person, every creature on their level, just to be makir for a second, a sense of Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the tafkid of the world, and we are Hashem's ambassadors. And if we were doing the Ritzon Shel Malkum, we wouldn't have to go nowhere. Our koyach alone would draw them to us. But because we don't have that koyach, we have to go to them. So here, the Sifsei Zekeinim is asking Mr. Rapport's question, why, who told Rashi to do this? And he quotes that Medrash. And he writes, and then he goes, gives the answer. The answer is the Koshile, the answer of Rashi, to Farish Kipshuta Uzratia Ba'aretz, Kiloimar, Chlapish Haisa Zrua Be'aretz, Zrua Be'aretz Umos, Hine Ezra Echa Be'aretza. If that's the case, why it should say not Ba'aretz, it should say Be'aretza. The answer, according to the Sifsei Zikainim, is because the deacon, the Pasuk, why does it say here, Uzeratia li bo'aretz. It should say Uzeratia bi'artzo. In her land. Her land. The fact that it says bo'aretz, it means the entire world. Ayin mitzudas. Im kein al karch tzach lufarish sefa dekua v'yamati l'loy ami 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 ata. V'yomer elokoi koi al akoidim elav. V'tzim elam ha'shamah v'yom ekura shmo lo ami. He's saying, I think it's still very difficult what he's saying here. He's saying that Loi Ami does not refer to Hoshea's third son. Or maybe it does refer to his third son, but his third son really is a mashal, according to this interpretation, for the Gerim. Hoshea is going to have three children. The first child is Yisrael. That's Klal Yisrael. The second child is Loi Ruchama. That maybe Loi Ruchama means Yisrael was L'choy was the Aseres HaShvatim. Loi Ruchama is who? That refers to Yehuda and Binyamin. And Loi Ami refers to the Gerim. Okay, this is something we did not learn like this. We learned like at least five Perushim, who the three children, what they are symbolic of. Rashi at the very, very end seems, according to the Perush over here of the Sifsei Zekeinim, is coming to teach us a new interpretation. Yisrael is Aseres HaShvatim. Loi Ruchama is Yehuda and Binyamin. I'm assuming that to be the case. And Loi Ami are the Gerim.
How do you see that
from Sifsei Zekeinim? Because he's saying the last passage, Yamarta Ami Amiata, Amiata.
The way I read it, he's just saying, now you're my people. Amiata.
Now you're my people. Who's my people now? The Gerim.
Why?
You have converted.
Why can't it be the Jewish people?
Because that's the because we already. Why can't it be the Jewish people? Because he says, then it should say in the pasuk, go and put everything together. Why Baaretz not be Arzah?
Why isn't Sifsei Zekeinim saying this means again?
And then he says also it's difficult to say that the Amarta Leloi Ami Ami Ata is going back what?
And then Klal Yisrael is now saying, Elokai, you're now my God. You recognize your person.
So I don't clearly understand why he rejects that. But look, let's go back and read one more time. The Im Kain, go back to the first wide line. That pasuk, that expression, is referring back to al hakoidem elof. Which pasuk? Pasuk tes. Ritzon loymar shama leel vayoyme kroshmo lo ami. So what? So what's the problem? Exactly. So what's the big deal? I don't know. I don't know what this means. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to focus on this. Whatever. Amarta. So this is how he learns pshat the pasuk. It's a very according to Ritzon loymar elosh nitoisufa. Let's leave with that. But basically, according to interpretation over here, he's saying in Rashi. He, the Sifsei Zekanim, is learning in Rashi that we're dealing here in Golis. Yisrael, the Iker Yisoy to know is two Yisoy, the Maker is Yisrael is a derogatory term for Klal Yisrael. It can only refer to Klal Yisrael in Golis. And Hashem is putting us in Golis, and Chazal tell us for the purpose of collecting Gerim. And now, if that is indeed true, then the glove, the pasuk fits like a glove. You don't have to go and start thinking very much. When it says, I will say to the people, Leloi Ami, those that until this point in time were not Jewish, now you have converted, Amiata, you are my nation. V'hu yoimar, and these gerim will say to Hashem, Elokoi, we are loyal to you, you are our God. This will all occur in the years of Galus when Hashem scatters us amongst the nations, and they will see us. Now you have to acknowledge that the word Lo Yami is the third child of Hoshea, and Lo Ruchama is the second child of Hoshea, and Yisrael is the first child of Hoshea, and they're all being grouped together. So you have to then assume, according to what Rashi over here says, is that when Hashem told Hoshea you should go and marry this Zona, and you're going to have three children, and the first child is clearly a reference to the Aseres Hashvatim. What? Yes, Zona was Jewish, absolutely. So is the first Yisrael is L'chayra, the one that was scattered. Who was scattered originally? That was the Aseres HaShvatim. Lo Ruchama, I'm assuming, is Yehuda and Binyamin, which were exiled at a later point in time. And now that he says Lo Yami refers to Goyim, who are indeed literally Lo Yami, now this is the third element of Klal Yisrael, Amiyata of Huyomer Elokai.
What if he says, in the first parrot, Muslim test, where there's
three children.
Loyami, you're not my people.
And now things are changing.
Now he's reversing the same.
Right. And what about V'loi Ruchamas? How come it says V'yozorati Eliberetz V'richamti Es Loi Ruchamas? So what's so terrible? This is going back on that as well.
But that's what the Sifsei Zekanim seems to be focusing on, the latter part of his comments.
So what's the problem? Anyway, we need to do that. Okay, I don't want to. I don't know the answers. You're asking very good questions. I don't know the answers. I really don't know. But one thing we see here, we have here the same three children. You can't deny that. Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, and Lo Yami. We're obviously going back to Perek Aleph.
No, but he's trying to explain this as he can. Rashi's drash. Rashi brings a drash.
I don't know what he. I hear what he said. I don't know what his problem. The problem is the first thing I understand. His question was, why does it say the word Ba'aretz and not be'artza?
Right.
So that indicates that we're not dealing with Eretz Yisrael. So we're dealing with Golos. With Golos.
Therefore,
if we're referring to Golos, therefore, Loi Ami means Gerim. And that's a Chazal. And also Yisrael, don't forget that Yisrael does not mean Klal Yisrael in the good times. Yisrael refers to Klal Yisrael in times of Golas. So it's very nice. It fits very nice according to what... We have to go weiter. I do not know. It's a very good question. The other thing I just wanted to add to prove that we... I don't know the answer. You're right. Your questions... What? What?
I said try to find your own answer. That's what the answer is.
I don't know. Now, but the other idea we want to inject into the parts, what I told you before, is that you cannot ignore this very strange sequence against the backdrop of the first parsha in the Torah. And if you're then going to say that we're not dealing with times of Geula, we're dealing with times of Golos, that's exactly what Golos is all about, where you don't see the direct Yad Hashem. Everything that happens to us is done through intermediaries. The Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim is where everything comes about through Teva. Exactly. The whole theme of this pasuk is Golos. So then, very nice. So then I'm dealing with Golos. When you're talking about Lo Yami, we're dealing about Goyim, who become Gerim, and they will say that they will come when they will say Yoimar Elokai. Okay, today we probably have the most celebrated ger in the world, Ivanka Trump. Was there ever, really, was there ever a time in modern history, in the last hundreds of years, where there was a ger tzedek, and an excellent, really, really phenomenal, as far as I see, I mean, I'm blown away. That's everyone in the world knows about. She's the biggest celebrity. They had a drudge. What do they write? What are the headlines? Perfect in everything.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. She was Niger.
Sammy Davis.
She was Jewish?
No.
What?
No.
She wasn't a real ger, I'm sorry.
No.
What?
Eddie Fisher was Jewish.
Who?
Eddie Fisher.
A real ger?
No, he was a Jew.
He was a Jew. No, I am talking the real deal. The real deal. A real non-Jew who becomes a Shomer Torah u'mitzvahs.
She wasn't, though.
She
was not religious.
That's not conversion.
But she died.
She did everything religious.
So what?
She's not an example.
Just because she wanted to be buried the same day doesn't make her Jewish.
Former Nazis children.
What is it?
I know, fine, but I'm talking about world famous. Yeah. Headline news.
Normal ger doesn't want to be famous.
Okay, fine. Call a vote. I'm with them. Stay away. You don't need the public media.
President.
What?
That's not the issue.
It's an awesome kid, Shem Shemayim. It's not a question of choice. Not just, you don't have a choice. She is the daughter of the President of the United States. Silva Mela, she's in the public eye. What more do you want? And she wants to be in the public eye. And she wants to do things. She even wants to be president, they claim now, right? They wrote that book, right? She wants to be president. So it's not a Kiddush Hashem, right? It's not a Kiddush Hashem.
It's a big danger for her because...
That's right. It's a big responsibility.
Right.
It's a big responsibility. I never saw Drudge... Drudge is the most famous website in the world. Ennis ever have a headline something. Everything is bad news. Is all bad news. At what 99.9%? They have a headline perfect with her picture, perfect in everything. And it's a very positive reading article. It's a very positive article.
I think the article was about how is she perceived around the world.
She's very well liked.
Yes.
And you cannot ignore the fact that she's a Shomer Torah, Shomeres Torah Mitzvahs. So what more do you want?
Yeah. Drudge also, by the way,
he's not religious. He's not.
Okay. No.
Once you're a Jew, you're a Jew. But if you're a non-Jew, you want to become a Jew, it's an uphill battle. You know, I tell people, I have a friend who's a ger. He went to 3 Batei Dinim. He told me, I know all the details of his geris. Rabbi Sai, all his geris. Basically, to become a Jew, a guy, I would never make it. Baruch Hashem, I'm Jewish. Because if I was not Jewish, and I would want to become a Jew, the standards are so high, the demands are so high, I couldn't handle it. They're really, even the modern Batei Dinim, they're very, very tough. You got to go for 2 years. You have to learn. You got to dive in with the minion 3 times a day. You have to be kaveitim l'torah. They test you on halachas. And then the Haredi batei dinim, they don't even want. They're gonna make sure you're gonna fail, right? Unfortunately, to some degree. What do you mean? No, but even the modern Orthodox batei dinim, it's a very, very tough process.
Yeah,
and the standards are really, really very, very high. And they're much, much higher than the average Jew. Jew in America, for sure. And I'm sorry to say, it's higher than the average Orthodox Jew. The average Orthodox Jew would not pass the standards of what the modern batei dinim demand to become a ger, if you're a guy. Once you're a Jew, okay, then you can go for a dive. Okay, your religious observance can slacken off a little bit. Don't tell everyone that you didn't daven mincha with me, you didn't daven b'yechidus. Don't tell anyone that, okay? Don't tell anyone that you haven't learned the word in the last month. Okay, don't mention that to them. But if you go into the bez and you tell them I haven't learned one word in the last 2 months, they say, you know, maybe you're not ready for this yet. Maybe you're not ready for this.
You want to make sure.
What?
You want to make sure.
You'll do tshuva? the responsible, the are bati dinim that are, they just give us the money and sign the document and you're done. Those today, you can't get away with that anymore today.
No.
Today we live in a very open society. The Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, there's no question that Torah has shifted to Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Authority of Torah is no longer in America. That may have been true for the last 50 years, but probably already 10 years ago, no more. It is clearly perceived, ki mitzion teitzei Torah.
After Amosh passed away, there was nobody that had that respect anymore.
Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. That has shifted at least 10 years ago, maybe even more. And today, anyone who gives gerus and does gerus in America,
yeah,
the first thing on their mind is, will the gerus be accepted by the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael? And the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have such high standards either. They're not extremists. There are a few people there who make trouble, but the body, the office itself, the Israeli office itself that is headed by the chief rabbi, again, okay, they're troublemakers inside that make me in the news, but they're very lenient. But yet, they're not letting people get away with murder today. Yeah.
In the Jewish week now is an article about Tara, but other things. But they complain about him in bronze. So, but one lady was saying he didn't want to convert her for 6 years. I mean, he was going 6 years. And she went to the Satmar Rebbe and Satmar.
Today, the Stam Bezin today?
Yes.
And they converted her right away?
The converted, she knew everything, but I thought, and they asked why you did it. He says, yes, he spoke in third person on himself. Says, yeah, nobody can say that I'm easy on conversion.
I don't know the details, I can't comment.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay, I don't know
the
details.
Another situation when the girl in Israel was killed.
Yeah.
Here in America, she couldn't convert. In Israel also Aaron Soloveitchik
was very, very machmir in Geirus. My cousin, who is his grandson, Aaron Soloveitchik's grandson. So when he became a rabbi, assistant rabbi, he had a lot of pride. He had part of his contract was, I'm not getting involved in Geirus. One of the big things that the shul did was Geirus, and he said, I'm not getting involved in Geirus. Mayor Yaakov Soloveitchik.
Spanish Portuguese?
No, not Spanish Portuguese. There he did whatever you know in by Luchstein. Because Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had an approach to Geirus, which is a Das Yochid, very, very difficult. Look, the facts are, 95% of the people who are Megayer today are being Megayer because they want to marry someone.
Right.
That's the facts. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. As long as the Bezin is convinced that the person is sincere. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to even know how to read sometimes. You'll get a good guy. You just have to prove to the Bezdin that you are sincere, and it's a work in progress. You basically shomer Shabbos, and you're with the program. You'll grow as time goes on, but you have to prove that you're sincere. Just walking into Bezdin and saying, I want to go marry this guy because I like him, and whatever, that's a joke. It's a joke. You'll spend 2 years going to shul and learning the basic inyanim of Yadus, and you do the best that you can, and you show. They end up being. They end up being, and they turn around. Right.
Too religious for them. Right. Exactly. My father did it to one person. He worked with this woman from Australia for 2 years, and she converted.
And then
she did it for marriage. And then she didn't want to marry the guy because he was a bum in her eyes.
Okay, that's right. That's what happens sometimes. The point is, with Bezdin, I know this firsthand. I know if my father was with Bezdin, they're looking for is sincerity. And to prove your sincerity, you have to prove it. It's a love. The ball is in your court. How do you prove it? Time. Time is really what ultimately proves it. If you're going to be with the program for let's say 2 years, a year, and you're going to go to shul every Shabbos, and you're going to pretty much do, of course you could fall back, you know, not everyone owns, no one's perfect. But the sincerity, like I was saying, the sincerity has to be usually more than the average person who is already shomer Torah mitzvahs. And then what happens, this is the way they pass the commandments, the way I've heard of it, is that what happens when they convert, they want to marry, right? They want to marry someone. They prove to the Beis Din that they're sincere. And Beis Din then gives them a gerus. It's not over yet. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. If the marriage doesn't work out, they get married. And like 95%, I want to marry this fellow. I'm going to convert. Okay, you're going to convert. You're sincere. We give you 2 years to work on yourself. Then they convert. They get married. What happens 5 years down the line? The marriage didn't work out. And this guy went back. Chazal Lasura. He went back to his old ways. So the understanding is retroactively, since the whole gerus is really because he wanted to get married, and now we see that once the marriage did not work out, and indeed he did go back to his old ways, not in every case, there are so many variables he can generalize, but many times it's viewed that the gerus was not a kosher gerus.
So what happens if it's a woman who did that and she had children?
It's a big problem. It's a very, very big problem.
Yep.
It's a very big problem. Where do you draw the line? Because the reality is, like I told you, today 95% of gerim are because they want to marry a Jew. That's a problem. That's a very big problem. The problem can be ignored, overlooked, as long as Beis Din feels okay. You like mitoch shaloi l'shma ba l'shma gezun to hate. But you got to prove it, and the way you prove it is you're sincere. You got to work on yourself, and then after you convert, you got to stick with the program.
But it's a blanket thing that goes back.
No, nothing is blanket. Nothing is blanket. Everything is complicated. Everything is complicated. But these are the general. These are the most like raw rules. If a person is from, let's say for a period of time after the Megaya, a year, 2 years. And then they go back to their old ways. If they were already religious for a significant amount of time that is determined by the Beis Din, then he's Jewish. It's just that. He went off the derech, like any other Jew. Like any other Jew, Rachman al-Litzlon, who decides not to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You're Jewish. You're a Jew is a Jew. Just because you're not observant doesn't take away from the fact that you're a Jew. If you were Jewish for a period of time that we can assume was sincere, even though originally the whole reason why this came back was because you wanted to marry someone, but you converted and you were really Jewish for a period of time to prove your sincerity after the gerus, and then you had some trauma in your life and you gave it all up, no, you're still Jewish. You're 100% a Jew. Problem is when it happens very quickly. It happens very quickly. So they convert, they get married, 6 months later they're divorced, okay, and then that's it, they're off to the races.
You're bringing the story of Rav Garim and the Mamzeret. It's the exact same story.
I don't know the story. I forgot. I once knew the story.
Fell in love with
no, it's a, that story. If I remember, it's much more complicated.
And he right away was a Chal Shabbos and
I don't remember. I once knew the story. I think that case was more complicated.
That's exactly the story.
Yeah. So what do they do? That was the big. That was
so
Machlekes.
Rav Garim said that the Gerus was no Gerus, and she was never married. She doesn't need a get. And the second husband's kids are not Mamzerim.
And all the Gedolim said, no, she is Jewish. Many said,
it became a political issue.
Golda Meir, she passed in the Shiloh, right? Is that one? No, it's not a joke. Golda Meir, she decided, right? Is that the story? Is that the story with Golda Meir?
No. What does she have to do with it?
She, at the end, she's the one who decided.
No, Rav Garim had a bezin of 10 dayanim.
And Golda Meir had, the way it was set up was she had to give the rubber stamp.
They wanted him to become the rabbi.
So a very ugly story. Okay, I don't know. Could be, you're right. You're right. Anything that's in the public eye is politics. You're right. It's right. And you should know that if something becomes in the public eye, it's setting a precedent for other people. It's very dangerous. So maybe even in situations where, technically, according to halacha, there are leniencies. When you're dealing with the public, with the entire world is watching, you have to sometimes be machmir. We're not, the other shalom is not together, there are different issues. Sometimes there's a reason to be machmir, not necessarily is it a requirement.
But we today, and I'll say this without busha, we have the chief rabbis in Israel, Amaratzim, when it comes to gayers. And they're sticking the nose in strictly politically and for
I cannot comment, I don't know. Okay. All right, in any event, this is what it says here, this Chazal Gerim. Let's quickly look at Rabbi Sai, please. Rabbi Sai, let's. Okay. Okay, come on, Rabbi Sai, we're getting out of hand here. Let's just read the Malbim. Oh, there's one Malbim here that says, this is a little bit of a, it's the review of this issue. Okay, we'll just read, and this will go next Monday, we'll go to Paragimel. Let's read the Pasuk of Dalet. The Aretz Tane Es Adagon, Sheyitoyt Seid, or Pasuk of Hei in the Malbim. Uziratia Lib Aretz. Ata now, Beyer ki masha omar b'moshul shetovoy ma'ane min Hashem. It's explaining the moshul how Hashem answers the request of the Shemayim. The sishtal shel lemata. What's the word for sishtal shel? It makes its way down. It makes its way down lamata ad shadogan v'atira shiyanu es Yisrael until the seed will grow. It will answer klali Yisrael. So here he writes over here, yesh loy melitza gam al hazria. There is a melitza. There is like a mashal, a metaphor for this for planting. Shezora es beis Yisrael. V'hu yeh ois. They will be the son of the shanois gam es. Shame, Shloisha Sabanim, the three children that we mentioned in the beginning of Perek Aleph. Latoiva for good. Shabain Harish and Shenikra Shemo Yisrael. Shahoya Moira Al Hazria, the first child who was called Yisrael, which was the one that was Moira Al Hazria on scattering. There's going to be a transformation according to the Malbim that instead of being scattered in Golos, they're going to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. You plant a small amount, the end is you have a lot more gross. Kain so too. Yerbu v'yitzmuchu v'yitoysu alem gedim v'te'asa pritvus kodesh l'Hashem l'goyim l'teferes. In Galus, Klal Yisrael is going to multiply. We're going to have an Igerim, Kamosh, Nema, Lamala, Voya, Misbar, B'nei Yisrael, Kichol Hayom. Uvoze, Tane, Ha'aretz, Es Adagon, Shetitzmach, Men Azril, Yosemach, Hashem, Letziu, Lechavoy. We're going to be a beautiful nation. V'neged Abba, Shekara, B'shem, Loi Ruchama, the Rechamti, Es Loi Ruchama, Shirachim, Galus, Aseres, Ashvatim. So here he's saying, according to the Malbim, Loi Ruchama, they are the ones who refer to the Aseres, Ashvatim. I want to stop because this is not really what I wanted to read. I wanted to read you the actual mashal, but you know what? We did the mashal already and already explained it more than enough. So I think with this, it's sufficient. And Yirtzeh Hashem, on Monday, we're going to start Perek Gimel. Okay, you can change the battery, right? Okay, it's also weak. This battery's also, is there another battery?
Yeah. He didn't realize it. He was saying exactly the sheet of Gordon.
It's not Rav Gordon. The whole world does this. It's not Rav Gordon. The question was, I remember listening to our cafe. The question was, they did not know.